Turn your Bibles with me to John chapter 10:10. John 10:10 says this, that thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Now, when you read this verse, it brings up a ton of different things. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. How many of us know that life is absolutely about definitions? And we learn it from a very young age in little school, in middle school, in junior high, in high school. Definitions, defining, labels. There's formulas, there's school, there's math. The thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus said, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So Jesus makes a statement, I alone have the keys to give a rich and full and satisfying life. Jesus states, I alone have the keys and the know-how to give a rich and satisfying life. But let's be honest this morning, how many of us look to Jesus for those keys? How many of us every single day and every single waking moment seek out to make our own path, our own happiness, forgetting that Jesus alone has the keys to a rich, full, satisfying life? Matthew 13:44 says, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered, hidden in the field. In his excitement, he hid it again. He sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field. Jesus describing in himself, I am so good. I am like a treasure. I am so good that any person, when discovers me, when you discover me, you will be willing to give everything you have for me. Jesus, there's a journey, there's a promise. But in order to follow the journey and the promise, how many of us know? You know, in the old days, before there was cell phones and Google, we had things called maps. You could get them at AAA. You could buy them at certain places. If you were going on a long trip, most people would most definitely use a map. Even to this day, though, how many of us, when we're going from A to B, have ever took the wrong street? The wrong turn. And what did we have to do? We had to flip around a U-E, legally, of course, right? To make sure that we're getting on the right path. And so this morning as we start, the question is, am I, are you, are we on the right path for the promise that God has for me, the promise that God has for you, to the John 10:10, the rich, the full, the satisfying life? Not a life that you can produce on your own. That's not the life that God's talking about. There's a lot of good, great things that we produce on our own. That's not what Jesus is talking about. Jesus is talking about a rich, satisfying life. Things that only He, God, can do. Am I on that path this morning? As God promised the Jewish people in the Old Testament, He promises every one of us the place of promise. But in order to find the place of promise, there's a couple ingredients that are really important. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a couple ingredients. And with that, we're going to go to Numbers chapter 13, starting in verse 17. Numbers 13, starting in verse 27. This was a report to Moses. We entered the land you sent us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, land flowing with milk and honey. Here's the kind of fruit it produces. But the people living there, they are powerful. Their towns are large. They're fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. We're skipping to chapter 14, verse 6. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua son of Nun, Caleb son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored, it's a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, He will bring us safely into that land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord, and don't be afraid, the people of the land. They're only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid of them. Now skipping down to verse 26, chapter 14. God said to Moses and Aaron, how long must I put up with this wicked community and its complaints about me? Yes, I've heard complaints about the Israelites they're making against me. Now tell them this. As surely as I live, declares the Lord, I will do to you the very things that I heard you say. You will all drop dead in the wilderness because you complained against me. Every one of you is 20 years old or older and was included in the registration will die. You will not enter and occupy the land that I swore to give you. The only exceptions will be Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. Verse 31. You said your children would be carried off as plunder. Well, I'm going to bring them safely into the land, and they will enjoy what you have despised. They will enjoy what you have despised. But as for you, you'll drop dead in the wilderness, and your children will be like shepherds, wandering the wilderness for 40 years. In this way, they will pay for your faithlessness until the last of you lies dead in the wilderness. Verse 34, because your men explored the land for 40 days, you must wander in the wilderness for 40 years, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins, a year for each day, suffering the consequences of your sins. Then you will discover what it's like to have me for an enemy. I, the Lord, have spoken. I will certainly do these things to every member of the community who has conspired against me. They'll be destroyed here in the wilderness, and here they will die. The 10 men Moses had sent to explore the land, the ones who incited the rebellion against the Lord with their bad report, they were struck dead with the plague before the Lord. Verse 38. Of the 12 who had explored the land, only two, Joshua and Caleb, remained alive. When Moses reported the Lord's words to all the Israelites, the people were filled with grief. They got up early the next morning and went to the top of the range of the hills. "Let's go," they said. "We realize that we have sinned, but now we're ready to enter the land, just as the Lord has promised us." But Moses said, "Why are you now disobeying the Lord's orders to return to the wilderness? It won't work. Do not go up into the land now. You will only be crushed by your enemies because the Lord is not with you. When you face the Amalekites, the Canaanites in battle, you will be slaughtered. The Lord will abandon you because you have abandoned the Lord." But the people defiantly pushed ahead toward the hill country, even though neither Moses nor the Ark of the Lord, the covenant, left the camp. Then the Amalekites and the Canaanites who lived in these hills came down and attacked them and chased them back as far as Hormah. There's two choices and there's two kinds of people. I think most of us have learned that in this life. And the two choices are faith or fear. Faith or fear. Secondly, two kinds of people. People who say, "I can't," "I won't," or people who say, "Yes, because God is with me." Two kinds of people in this world, those who choose faith or fear. There's two choices we make every single day, every single moment, sometimes multiple times in the day, faith or fear. Hebrews 11:6 says, "It's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him." Everything in life starts with faith. It starts with a belief. It starts with a hope. God is real. Heaven is for real. God is real. And if God is real, if heaven's for real, then something has to happen in me. Something has to happen in me to make a choice. It starts with believing. It starts with hope. But what is hope? What is belief? What is faith? If you do nothing with that hope, nothing with that faith. Faith demands action. Faith demands movement. Faith demands flow. And God only rewards those what? Who move in faith. Now, the other option we have is fear. And if you look up in the dictionary what fear does to you, it does this. Fear also, like faith, demands an action. Fear will either make you fight or run. Faith, remember, it demands an action. What am I going to do with my faith? Fear also demands an action. Will I fight or will I run? Fear, it causes heavy breathing, our hearts to beat faster, blood pressure to go up, sweating, upset stomach. Fear, unhelpful thoughts, something bad is going to happen. Or mentally what happens is the more fear that we allow into our brains, we start thinking, people are judging me. It becomes difficult to think clearly, hard to make good choices. Fear causes us to avoid people, certain places, and activities. Fear causes long-lasting anxiety. Fear, it interrupts a process in our brains that allows us to regulate emotions. Fear interrupts a process in our brain that allows us to regulate emotions. It stops us from being able to read verbal cues and the information that is right in front of us. Fear causes stress, hormones released, overwhelmed, upset, feeling out of control, sense I'm going to die. So the question, as we start this morning, we painted the picture through the text, there's two choices, there's two words that are described in this story, faith or fear. Faith, God rewards those whose faith is moved into action, and then there's fear. Which one's more healthy for your body? Which one's more healthy for your mind? Which one's more healthy for your heart? What's more healthy for you right now, faith or fear? We see in this story, God gets a little upset and he says, these lovely, wonderful people, constantly complaining and blaming me. Constantly, they complain constantly against Moses, against Aaron, and then against God. Have you ever said and thought to yourself, I wonder when they're ever going to learn? Have you ever said to yourself, when parents, have you ever thought as a parent, when are my kids ever going to learn? But to take a step back this morning to understand that in the Christian world, in the spiritual atmosphere, it's not when they will learn, it's when will I learn. It's not when they will learn, it's not when they get it, it's when I get it. When do I start to learn? When do I start to learn? My title this morning, I forgot to mention, is my favorite teacher. Turn to your neighbor and say, my favorite teacher. I wonder if all of us had a favorite teacher. You know, all through school years in beautiful Hemet, California here, there's a number of teachers I had. And at times, there are just teachers that I had that were my favorite because they simply helped me pass the classes with B's or A's and did nothing to get a passing grade. So they were favorite teachers, right? And then one year I had this teacher who was a softball coach. He was a gentleman and he was rough. Turn to your neighbor and say, oh, he was a rough guy. Whew, man. But you know what's weird? What moving in my mind from having a favorite teacher from just nice teachers who would pass you. If you're nice to them, they're nice to you. You pass the class, everybody's happy, we're good to go. Until one day I met this guy, and he was rough on every single class, every single student he had. But you know what? He was rough, but he was also loving. That's one thing that we have a hard time understanding about God. God says he disciplines those he loves. We want the loving God. We don't want the disciplined God. We want the loving, gracious, forgiving God, healing God, providing God, but we don't want the disciplined God. God says, I discipline those I love. So this morning our title is favorite teacher. Who's your favorite teacher? Who's our favorite teacher? Many times this community, every time they would get in a dangerous situation, every time they would get close to something that they felt they were going to die from, they would lose sight of God. They locked in on what was in front of them, and they started to complain, and they started to blame. Instantly, the thought of danger, the thought, I'm going to die, I'm going to lose my life, instantly thinking, feeling, this is the end of it all. All of my life has come to this point. All of my life and every moment has come to right now, and I'm going to die. But in thinking of dying, it wasn't like, well, if this is how God wants me to go, the thought was, it's God's fault, and it's Moses' fault, and it's Aaron's fault. Always the heart that kind of would take the negative route. Philippians 2:12 says this. If you have your Bibles, I'm not going to put it on the screen this morning, but Philippians 2:12 says, dear friends, You have always followed my instructions when I was with you. But now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation. And how many of us have learned in life, if we have a job, if we had a job, if we have a job, our paycheck, our life are usually the results of how we work. Working hard in a job, working hard, sweat, blood, tears. Usually at the end of the day, hopefully the paycheck is a result of what we put into it. But this morning, as Paul's talking to the Philippians, he says, work hard to show the results of your salvation. What are the results of your salvation? What are the results of you being saved? What are the results of us believing in God? What are the results of us in giving our life to Him? What are the results if we are believers, if we're followers of Jesus, if we call ourselves Christians, if we sing worship songs? What are the results, Paul says, of us being saved? Obey God with deep reverence and fear. God is working in you, giving you the desire and power to do what pleases Him. Now here's verse 14, which goes along with our main text this morning. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Do everything without complaining and arguing. Did he say do some things without complaining and arguing? Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives, children of God, shine like bright lights in the world full of crooked, perverse people. Hold firmly to the word of life. Hold on to it firmly, to the words that are in here. On the day of Christ's return, I will be proud that I did not run the race in vain and that my work was not useless. So the Jewish community, we see over and over and over and over again, soon as it became rough, hard, and tough, what did they do? They complained. Now, that's not any of us in here this morning, I know. But how many of us know that that's usually one of the first things our nature, we want to do? If it's something hard, rough, and tough, remember, faith or fear, faith demands an action, so does fear. If fear is being sparked inside of us, it's also demanding an action. What is fear demanding you do? Fight or what? Run. Fight or run. That word running to mean to blame, to put the blame on somebody else, because it's never my fault. It's never my fault. They didn't realize that in complaining, you know what they did? They spoke the future. Every single time, if you listen to the words of the Jewish community, when they became afraid, what did they say? We're all going to die. They didn't realize that after enough times of listening to what they were saying, God said, you know what? You're right. You spoke those words correctly about yourself, and that's exactly what's going to happen. You spoke the future about your life that's going to happen right now. Every single time that something bad happens and you're negative and you go right to dying and you go right to blaming and complaining, God says, I've had enough. I've had enough. And you're right. You are going to die. Kind of sad. But one thing we don't realize in life this morning, how powerful our words and our tongues. James, Jesus' half-brother, he says, the tongue, one of the smallest pieces of the body is given to us. But yet how powerful the tongue is, the mouth, the words that come out. Proverbs 18:21, the tongue can bring death or life. Death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. And this morning, our text, the community, the Jewish people, because of their mouth, because they prophesied and said, we're all going to die. Actually, they prophesied in part, because it was only those who were filled with fear and who accepted the fear from the 10 men. Those were the ones who were dying, but not their kids. Thank God. Said, thank God he spared the kids, those kiddies. It was the adults. Turn your neighbor and say, those stinky adults. Stinky adults. Sometimes we don't realize that what we're speaking about, what we're speaking to, could be something that we're trying to pull in and accept in our future. If there's constantly a negative thought that we have about ourselves, about someone else, that we speak verbally, that we speak it out verbally, I wonder at some point, does God ever stop and say, I'm going to let those words come true? That's the only thing you always talk about. The writer of Proverbs said, speak life or you speak death. Two options. Just like this morning, remember we began, it's two options, faith or fear. With our mouth, it's two options, life or death, life or death, life or death, faith or fear. There's a choice we make every single day, every single moment. It's faith or fear, it's life or death. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 15, God says, now listen, today I give you the choice. At least God gives us the choice. God, being gracious, being forgiving, he says, I give you the choice between life and death, prosperity, disaster. I command you this day, love the Lord your God, keep the commands, decrees, regulations, walk in God's ways. If you do this, you will live, multiply. The Lord your God will bless you in the land you're about to enter and occupy. But if your heart turns away, now here's the big part, and refuse to listen, if you're drawn away to serve and worship other gods, then I warn you now that you will be destroyed. You will not live a long good life in the land that you're going to cross the Jordan to occupy. Today, I give you the choice between life and death, blessing, cursing. Now I tell and I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice that you make. Heaven stands as a witness to the choice we make. Oh, that you would choose life, that you, your descendants, might live. You can make the choice by loving the Lord your God, obeying him, committing yourself firmly to him. This is the key to your life. And if you love and obey the Lord, you will live long in the land that God swore to your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We get to choose. You get the choice. We know that God didn't make robots. He made humans who have the opportunity to choose faith, belief in him, or fear in life in every circumstance. The choice between life and death, blessing or cursing. You get to decide. Unfortunately for the people in the story, from that moment on, because of their bad choice, they started dying inside. There already was some remains and there already was some things in there that caused this moment to happen, but they started dying inside. They were promised the world, but they were left with absolutely nothing. There's many dreamers in our world today, but only few people know how to pursue dreams. Just like in this day and just like in the text here, God promised every single one of them a piece of the promised land, prosperity, blessing, but not everyone knew and wanted to pursue that blessing and that promise with everything they have. Just like today, there's many dreams and dreamers in our world, but only a few really pursue the dream through hard work, sacrifice, persistence, never giving up, never giving in, never settling, because there's just no way. There's no way. For these people inside, unfortunately, they started dying inside. And God says to them, because you did what you did, you were going to wander for 40 years. They took 40 days to search out the land. They took 40 days to spy out the land. They took 40 days. And he said, because you took 40 days and because you spied it out and you came back and reported it this way, now you have to wander through the wilderness, a place of testing, a place of trials for 40 years. 40 years of dying inside every single second. For the 10 men who took their fear and took that fear and put it on a community, for the 10 men who took their fear and put it on a community, those men died 10 instantly. For the other people, the adults who absorbed the fear and put that fear and clothed that fear with themselves and accepted it as their own, they died slowly. They died slowly, being tortured through the wilderness, stuck in yesteryear, stuck in the past, stuck in the choices that we made. So what did they do when they realized we screwed up? They did what many of us do. We sinned. God forgive us. We're ready to go take the land now. They come to God and they say, we realize we made a boo-boo. Have you ever had to deal with a punishment? Maybe as a kid, I don't know if any of us have ever were spanked or grounded in here. I can remember being grounded from my skateboard for a week. To me, that was the end of the world back then. The end of the world. Have you ever had a punishment so severe in your mind, even though it maybe wasn't that severe of a punishment, but you felt like it was the end of the world? For these people to be sent to the wilderness for 40 years, think about going to prison. Think about going to a place where you wandered around for 40 years. 40 years. Wondering. The thought of punishment, the thought of this punishment, it created something in their mind. It created a cognitive, emotive loop. Now listen, the thought of being stuck in the wilderness created a cognitive emotive loop, a repeating pattern, thoughts, beliefs, producing feelings, fuel, the rightness. This is my story. I'm going to keep telling it so that my emotions intensifies my feelings, the patterns of feelings, the way of getting and moving forward, causing us to get stuck. The thought of a cognitive immobility, mentally trapped in a place because of the past. Every time they got in trouble, what did they say? We should go back to Egypt. What was Egypt? It was their past. They couldn't get their past out of their present. And so they had this constant loop in their brain, this cognitive loop, because they could never get rid of the past, what happened in the past. They couldn't get out of her brain. So constantly, every single time something happened, what came up in front and forward? The past. Every single time there was a pattern. What was the 40 years of wandering? It was a pattern. It was a circle of things and trials and tribulations that were brought on. Why? Not because God just wants to punish people. From our own sins and mistakes, bad choices, the choice of fear, the choice of certain things, not trusting, not obeying, not listening, lust, sexual sins, all these things that will create a bad negative loop, like wandering in the desert for 40 years, feeling stuck. I've tried everything, but I can't get out. Tried everything, and I can't do. So the thought of this punishment for them made them realize, man, we screwed up. Have you ever done something so bad and you knew you're in trouble and then you tried to say sorry real quick because you want to get out of trouble? Everybody ever do that before? In this moment, this is what the Israelite and the Jewish community did. God, we're sorry. We realized we sinned. We made a mistake. We're ready to go take the land. And Moses says, you're sorry. It's too late. If you go, God will not be with you. See, God sets moments up in our life that he wants you to take them. He wants you to possess those moments of greatness, of doing something, allowing your faith a chance to grow, to move, to flow. But when we don't seize those moments in God, when God asks us to step up, when God asks us to preach, when God asks us to share the good news, when God asks us to do something above and beyond in our natural ability, something that our natural ability that we just don't have. God's gifts are bigger than our natural abilities. God's gifts and his power are way bigger than us. The way God moves, God is powerful. God is ginormous. He does not need talent or things, intelligence inside of these bodies to do anything. He just needs open and willing vessels. He called fishermen. And fishermen are lovely, wonderful men back in the day. But these are the men he picked to change the world. He picked fishermen. He picked uneducated men to follow him and to change the world. God is just looking for an open, willing heart that says, God, use me. And so God sets moments up, just like he set this moment up for them. And he said, now is your moment. Go take the land. But they didn't do it. They chose fear over faith. They chose fear over trusting in God. But when they saw the punishment, what did they do? Oh, God, I'm sorry. I'm ready now. God, I'm ready now. That punishment's just too big. What we don't realize is what we miss in the moment. Many of us try to make up for things that we know we're supposed to do for God, and then we try to make it up by doing other things. But what you lose in the moment of not taking possession of what God called you to do, it is far greater what you lose than what you think you'll ever gain. Many with the thought and the fear of failure, and I can't, and I won't, and I'm not supposed to. Being a day late and a dollar short, the Jewish community said, we're ready to try now. Moses said, if you do, I'm sorry, just so you know, you will be attacked and you will be killed. They decided to do it anyway. You know what's funny about the Jewish community? You know what I love as I'm reading this story? They never learned how to listen. They never learned how to listen. They always missed the moment. They always were afraid to seize what God had. Always. And at the only time they wanted to listen when it was the fear and thought of punishment. One of the number one things people are afraid of today is the fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. The fear of missing out. I don't want to miss out on life. I don't want to miss out on this. I don't want to miss out on this. I don't want to miss out on that. I don't want to miss out on this. One of the greatest fears people have is the fear of missing out. For the Jewish community, their fears became so big in their mind that they never were willing to listen to God. And I wonder this morning, is there anything stopping us from truly listening for the voice and direction and the power and the guidance and the provision and the healing that God has for us? Is there anything so loud? Is there anything, I don't know, when we were younger, did we listen to loud music and headphones that today we have a hard time hearing? I have a hard time hearing today. And so maybe we just have so much, we've listened to so much loud music that it's hard to listen. Listen. So God says to Moses, says, you're going to be attacked. And they said, oh, well, we're going to go anyway. And what happens? They get attacked and they get hurt and they get beat up. Just like many people today in Christians' world, when they do things that they're not supposed to do, they get attacked and beat up because they didn't do it God's way. How many of you know if you have a boss who likes a certain, he does a thing certain ways, and he tells you, this is how I want you to do it, if you do it differently, what's your boss going to say to you? Eventually, you're probably not going to have a job. If your boss is very specific about, he wants something done, this is how you have to do it. If you continue to not listen to the boss, what happens? Eventually, you're not going to have a job, a J-O-B. These people did not want to listen, and so they go and they get attacked. And so this morning we ask ourselves, what are, in this story in our text we've been reading and following the Jewish community, what do we walk away with? What do we walk away with this morning from this? Well, the first thing is very loud and very obvious, and it is, do I choose faith over fear? Do I choose faith over worry? Do I choose faith over complaining, over being negative? Do I choose faith in God, or is it just about living life? Faith or fear? Faith or worry? Faith or complaining? Faith, or I'm going to live my life and I'm going to do what I want to do? Is my faith in God, or do I fear people more than I fear God? Do I have such a great faith in God, or do I fear people? Matthew 10:26 says this, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time's coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What I tell you in the darkness, shout it abroad when daybreak comes. What I whisper in your ear, shout from the housetops for all to hear. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. What's the price of two sparrows? One copper coin? But not a single one sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And they're the very hairs on your head. They're all numbered. Don't be afraid. You're more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Am I ever afraid of what people think? Now, let's think about Christianity for a second. If we know what the Bible says, and we know what God wants me to say, have I ever been in a conversation where, like, I probably should say this, but I'm afraid to. I'm afraid of what they're going to think. I'm afraid they're not going to like me. I'm afraid they're going to run. Faith or fear in the moment. Don't be afraid of those who want to kill you. For these men who lived at this time, they all, most of them, gave their body in a horrible, tragic way. Men, women that were eaten by lions, men who were boiled alive, John, but he didn't die. There were people, men and women, who tragically gave their life because they weren't afraid of men. They weren't afraid. They were going to stand for God. If being a Christian becomes illegal, what would we do? If being a Christian becomes to a point where you will go to jail, beautiful, you will go to jail or beheaded like they did in the old days, what would we do? Would we be willing? When Apostle Paul, after he was writing all of his letters and in prison for such a long time, and it comes to the time of his death, when he gets ready to get his head cut off, he didn't sit there. He lunged forward because he wanted to show them, I am so ready to die for my God. I'm so ready to die. I'm not going to sit here and be afraid. He lunged forward, put his neck up there because he wanted to do it as quick as possible and say, I'm ready to die for my God. I am ready. And hopefully, we don't ever have to be in a day and age where it's like this again. But what if it was? What if our life was on the line? Secondly, we learned from the Jewish community this morning that there was circles, there was patterns, there was life, and there was choices. And just like they have them, we have them too. Just like they had to go through a negative cognitive loop, the men who made the wrong choices. How many of us this morning are making wrong choices, which are causing patterns and circles in our brain and emotions to flow in a negative way? This morning, as we start to wrap up, Michelle, if you want to go outside for me. Thank you. Or you can hit the button now if you want to. Go ahead. Say something for me. Hi. Say it one more time.
Hi.
Hi. Me and Ms. Shiloh have walkie-talkies. One of the things we talked about this morning was there's something that was missing, an ingredient for the Jewish community. There was something that for many of them, a large percentage, they did not have, they did not possess something, clearly.
Hello.
Not a walkie-talkie. If you buy, depending on how good a walkie-talkie you purchase, the point in walkie-talkies is you're talking with somebody, another person, usually, right? Now, truck drivers talk with multiple people. But if you buy two walkie-talkies, you're talking on a walkie-talkie because you want to what? Communicate. Now, how many of us know with cheap walkie-talkies, and I'm not sure if these are cheap or they're probably semi, when you're close, what happens? You hear them clearly. But the farther they get, what happens? You can't hear them anymore. And what do we have as a big problem in our human race is a walkie-talkie. Because the farther we get from God, the farther we get away, we never hear his voice. Something happens in us, in our friends, in our relatives, at our jobs, at our workplaces, in life. And then we complain like the Jewish people. Why? Because we're so far out of range with God, we don't hear his voice. And then whose fault is it? Is it God's fault if we don't hear? Is it God's fault? Is it God's fault that he didn't give us what we needed, what we thought in that moment? But the truth and the reality is, no, it's our fault. It's our fault. The closer we get to God, the closer we're in range, we're going to be exactly where he wants us to be. We're going to be, we're going to hear, we're going to understand every single moment. God will keep you from harm. God will provide for you. God will heal you. God will take care of you. But there's one requirement. You have to be in range. And if we're not in range, you know what? We can't blame anyone. We have to stop being blaming, complaining. Jesus said when he was here, come and just believe in me. No. He said what? Come and follow after me. Remember, faith requires action. What will I do with what I believe? Just like fear does. Will I fight or will I run? Luke 9:23 says, Jesus says to the crowd, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. If any of you wants to be my follower, he didn't say you must give up other people's ways. He says, give up your own way. Take up your own cross daily. Follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will find it. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you yourself lost, destroyed? We have many people, and even believers today, who they're trying to gain the whole world. The world doesn't have enough to offer. There's a lot of stuff out there, but you know what? It doesn't have enough to offer to all make us happy. There's only one that has enough to make me happy, and it's Jesus Christ. What do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my message, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in his glory, in the glory of the Father and the holy angels. I tell you the truth. Some standing here right now will not die before they see the kingdom of God. This morning, one of the casualties and the greatest frailties of our human race is the ability to listen. But in listening, understanding, I have to put my life in range so that I can hear clearly. I have to put my life in the range so that I may hear him clearly. How many of us know somebody who needs to be healed? How many of us know somebody that needs to be provided for? How many of us know somebody that needs an answer to prayer? How many of us know someone, or even in ourselves, there's longings, there's things that just aren't being met, there's things that I need, there's things. How many of us, there's so many things. And all the while, God's sitting there and saying, you're too far out of range. You can't hear me. I've already spoken the answer, but you're out of range. If you want what you're looking for, what does he say? Come close. How do we get in range? Real simple. Real simple. You know, being in church helps you get close in range. Reading your Bible, I know it sounds real simple and easy, helps you to get close in range. Praying helps you get close to range. Listening to worship music helps you get close in range. If there's so many things that I want to need, if there's so many things that we have friends and families that want to need, the best and most powerful thing that we can do is make sure that we are in the range of God, that we put ourselves and our life and our heart and our mind and our soul in position to be able to listen. Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and follows. And here's the two words that are the most important ingredients. Listening and then following. is like a wise person who builds a house on a rock. Though rain comes, torrents, floodwaters rise, wind beats against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on the rock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it, it's foolish, like a person who builds their house on the sand. When the rains, floods come, winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority. We see so much struggle in our world today. We see so much struggle in our government. There's so much struggle around the world with different countries still at war. So many struggles even within ourselves. So much struggle. And you know why there's so much struggle? It's because sometimes we change who our favorite teacher is. When I started and I described my favorite teacher in the beginning, it were teachers who made my life easy and comfortable. And I wonder this morning, is that the kind of teacher that we look for? Is comfort and favor and easy? How did my life, when I had a teacher who was a little more mean and rough and explained things just slightly different, disciplined with love, open my eyes to see, to understand everything in life? Everything that is good, everything that is great, everything that is rich and satisfying, it comes at a cost and it comes with a fight. Jesus said, I come to give life and life to the fullest. I've come to give life and life to the fullest. How do we find that life and life to the fullest? Jesus said, follow me. Give up your life. There's the cost. Take up your cross, the sign of death and leaving everything behind. And he said, come, follow me. And that puts my life, by listening, what Jesus described in Matthew 7:24, by listening and then following, I've put my life in range to be able to see, to hear, to understand the greatest life, the greatest moments, the greatest things. They only happen when I step out in faith. We wrap up this morning. We see the tale of two really different groups of people. There was two men who were sent out as spies along with 10 others, but there was two men who saw through the lens of faith. The 10 men, the other men, they lived by what they saw. Normal, ordinary, hungry, I get to eat, hungry, feed myself, I see tragedy, I call it like it is. They just called everything exactly how they saw it. The challenge, though, in life is none of us this morning can see God. We can hear him, but we can't yet see him. We can feel him, but we can't yet see him. And so Paul says, listen, that's why we walk by faith and not by sight. If you get stuck, if sight, if life, if living becomes your favorite teacher, you're going to miss out on everything that God has for you. God had a promised land for the community back then, just like God has a place of promise for you, a place of promise just for you. But only those who are willing to journey and allow faith and allow God's voice to be the teacher will inherit and will follow and walk into the place of promise. So much struggle, so many things within us at war. So many voices that try to speak and direct to us. A couple weeks back, I had Sixto come on stage, and I originally shared part of this story. It was the first part of this story, because there was 10 men in this story, if you remember, who took their fear, and they put it on to the whole community. And so we had Sixto up here, and I put my suit coat, and I put it on Sixto. Because what we do as people, without realizing it, we accept other people's fears, real simple. We accept other people's jealousies and insecurities, real simple. We accept other people's frustrations and angers, real simple. We accept lust, real simple. We accept so many negative and bad things. It's like taking a coat off us and put it on somebody else because we're accepting their patterns that they've fallen into. And then sometimes we as people, we get stuck in patterns. But the great thing is, no matter what kind of pattern you're stuck in this morning, God can always make a way for you to get out. And if the pattern is this morning, it's not me, it's somebody else, then we're just like that community back in the day who constantly complained. And so this morning, as we wrap up this morning, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and bow your heads.